If you haven't checked out some of the other awesome shows on the FNX network, then you're missing out on some fantastic content, like this.
All right, then, it's time to stop what you're doing and wash the p*** out of your mouth, because we're live from the archives of Reinhardt's Porn Stash with our notorious podcast.
It's the Sagopod, a dignified video game podcast for adults.
And the next day, I still hadn't pooped despite several vigorous and painful attempts.
No, you don't stand where he stood.
They're the f***ing worst.
Join your hosts, Skinner and Frank, along with various other guests.
All right, guys, it's Rectic here.
I'm only Afro. I'm the funny YouTube Dark Souls guy.
This is David from Yacht Games.
Join us as we pretend to like video games and actually know things about the gaming industry.
Do you play video games?
No! Video games are for idiots.
It's the Sagopod.
All right, hello everybody, and welcome back to the world's almost finest podcast. Happy Thanksgiving! No, that's over. Yeah, that's already passed. All right, well, Merry Christmas to everybody! No, that's over too. Happy New Year? Yeah, it's New Year. Beside the point, it's been a while since you've heard from us here at the world's almost finest podcast. We apologize for the delay. We apologize for everything that's happened. But it's because we've been rebranding, basically. We've been building. We've been working behind the scenes, getting ready to really come back in a big way. And it's just Jake here, by the way. I forgot to introduce myself. Travis is off, still celebrating the rest of his new year, doing gosh knows what. I don't even want to think about it. But what we've been doing is we've been working on bringing the show back in a bigger and better way. And a lot of people have messaged me online saying, when's World's Almost Finest? When's the new episode? When's it coming back? Well, I wanted to go ahead and do this particular episode to explain exactly what's going on. Plus, I want to touch on some of the things that have happened in the recent weeks and my feelings on 2016 as a whole, now that it's gone. But let's get right out of the gate with the big news, which is the fact that we will be officially rebranding the world's almost finest. And by rebranding, I don't mean giving it a new show or a new name or anything like that. Probably rebranding is the wrong word. Relaunching. There we go. Relaunching later this month, officially on iTunes. Finally, the world's almost finest podcast will be available to be listened to on iTunes and other streaming devices. iTunes, I know there's Podsatchel out there, I know there's Google Play, and different things like that. This is something we have worked for since the very moment that World's Almost Finest first said hello and told you to open your ears and enjoy back in 2014, April 2014. And finally, we have arrived to that destination, and it is going to happen here sometime within the next several weeks. We have had so much support from the guys at FNX. They're helping us along. We're still with FNX. We love being with the FNX network, and we plan on being with them for quite some time in the future. And I've had guys making new things for me. I've got some new artwork that's coming for show logos and everything like that. We're looking into brand new music. We're looking into everything. And what I want to go ahead and cover is the fact that it's not like everything that has happened before isn't still going to be there. It is still going to be there. This is the 64th episode that you're listening to of the World's Almost Finest podcast since we joined the FNX network in April of 2014. Now, to some of you out there, that might not be a big deal, but to me, it's a huge deal because we've put a lot of work into it. We've had a lot of ups and downs over the last 2.5 years, I want to say. Year and a half, 2 years, somewhere around there. I'll do my math later. But we finally reached a point where we can grow bigger and be reached by even more of a massive audience. And we can not only bring the world's almost finest podcast, but we're bringing the FNX. We're bringing everything with us. And this is going to be an absolutely fantastic journey that we're about to go on. Basically, what we're doing, we're calling it a relaunch because 64 episodes is a lot of episodes to have to re-upload to the iTunes platform. So what we're going to do is we're basically going to tie a string around the end of everything that has already happened. So this will basically be the last episode of the World's Almost Finest podcast as you've known it for the last couple years. Now we're going to go and move forward. We're going to continue to bring you the World's Almost Finest podcast that you know and love, plus so much more. We're going to have some new people. We're going to try and get more guests to join us. We're going to have tons of discussions and topics. We're going to launch YouTube channels and Twitch streams and everything. This is a big time if you're a World's Almost Finest fan, and I hope that you sit back, relax, make sure your tray tables are in their upright and locked positions, and get yourselves ready for the future of the World's Almost Finest podcast, because the future's so bright I gotta wear shades. Yes, I just used a classic line from a song, and I am not ashamed to admit it. I can't wait for this. It's gonna be sometime in the next several weeks. We will have the first World's Almost Finest episode on iTunes, and I can't wait for it, and I'd love to hear the feedback from you guys. It's gonna be fantastic. We hope you join us for this ride. Stick with us. We're still going to do some of the stuff that we always do. We're still going to do the top 10 lists. We're still going to talk about breaking news stories and movie reviews. I'm still going to do the written movie reviews, because they say that the era of print is dead. I don't believe so. There's a lot of people that like to read. So I'm going to continue to do the written movie reviews, and I hope to hear some feedback from you on that. But stick with us, guys. It's gonna happen in the next several weeks. That's the big news. Alright, let's go ahead and get back into some of the events that's taken place over the last several weeks. And the ones I want to cover right off the bat is, of course, the tragic deaths of both Carrie Fisher and, about 24 hours later, her mother, Debbie Reynolds. There's not much that's left to say about Carrie Fisher, about who she was, about the type of person she was, about the amazing performances that she gave us, of course, as our wonderful and lovely Princess Leia. As we posted the day that the news broke that she passed away, we posted on the World's Almost Finest Facebook page, "To us, she'll always be royalty, and farewell, Princess." That was a gut punch. That was a tremendous, tremendous gut punch. And I say that not because of the fact that, you know, everybody immediately turns their eyes towards, oh, what's going to happen to episode 8? What's going to happen to episode 9? Because, yes, those are now in question. Episode 8, she already finished working on. And I can't wait to see it. Episode 9 is the one that's in the most question, because you don't know exactly what they're going to do now. Are they going to kill the character of Princess Leia off? Are they just going to write her off into the sunset and say she couldn't be here, she had to be somewhere else? Could they possibly do the CGI effect? I wouldn't look for that to happen, like they did in Rogue One. Who's to say? And we're not going to know the answers to that until, I believe, Episode 9 begins production, and news stories and things of that nature start to break out. But it was a major gut punch, because this is Carrie Fisher. You know, she's always kind of been there, even without you knowing. Whether she's doctoring scripts, whether she is appearing in movies. You know, everybody talks about her roles in the Star Wars. Let's talk about some of the roles that were outside of Star Wars that Carrie Fisher had that I loved. I loved watching her in The Blues Brothers, where she kept trying to kill the Blues Brothers every time you turn around. Her car would pull up, and she'd pull out a freaking bazooka or something and just blow up the building that they're living in. It was amazing. Let's talk about an underrated film in my eyes. I know a lot of people a lot of people were iffy about it, but I think it's underrated, and is Joe Dante directed The Burbs, where she played with Tom Hanks. She played Tom Hanks' wife. And it's that movie with the guys who live in the suburbs that are freaked out because there's this weird European family that moves into somebody else's house across the street, and they got weird noises coming out and, you know, weird smells and things like that. And these guys want to break in and figure out if they're actually burying bodies in the backyard or something. It's an underrated film to me. But she was wonderful in that. And quite honestly, although I loved her performance in When Harry Met Sally, because I love that movie, one of my absolute favorite things that Carrie Fisher ever did in a film is in a small little film from, I don't know if it was the late 80s. It probably was the late 80s. I'd have to look back up. A small little film known as Drop Dead Fred. And the scene is of Carrie Fisher's character. This is a spoiler, by the way. Carrie Fisher's character reacting to the fact that this imaginary friend of this adult woman, because if you've never seen Drop Dead Fred, it is a girl who has an imaginary friend. The imaginary friend somehow gets locked up in a box when she's a child, and he doesn't appear again until she's already an adult and she's going crazy, and he pops out of the box and he just starts causing all this trouble and chaos. Somehow, Drop Dead Fred has sunk the boat that Carrie Fisher's character was living on. And that was her houseboat. That's where she lived. That's all her possessions were there. So the girl, who the main girl in it, has to come to her office, and she's dripping wet because she was in the boat too, come to the office to tell Carrie Fisher's character. And when she tells her that it was Drop Dead Fred that did it, and nobody but the girl can see Fred because he's an imaginary friend, Carrie Fisher goes into the desk chair that's in the middle of the room where a board meeting is going on that Fred is sitting in. Nobody else can see Fred. Carrie can't even see Fred. The girl had to point the chair out, rolls the chair out, and then acts like she's starting to beat the hell out of this imaginary friend, choke the life out of him. And it's such an amazing sequence because she's actually not beating Fred up at all, because Fred had got out of the chair and was standing behind the shoulder of the girl. So legit, she's beating up no one. And it's a performance like that that really stands out to you, that really encapsulates you, because when you walk, you gotta imagine when you walk onto a movie set and say, okay, what am I doing today? And they say, well, you're gonna fight an imaginary friend. Okay. You're going to, you know, you're going to punch him, you're going to try and choke him, but he's actually not going to be there. Okay. And the fact that she just rolled with it. She just went with it, and she did it. And it was one of the highlights of that film, even though that film is very, very, very questionable as to whether or not it is good or not. I know there's a cult following out there for it. But that sequence is one of the things I remember most about Carrie Fisher's performances, and that's just purely for me. That's not saying that it's one of the greatest in cinematic history. That's just purely for my own benefit, my own taste, and now knowing that she has passed on, nobody was expecting it. Nobody was waiting for it. I remember the first time I heard that she had the heart attack on the plane. Oh, man. I was like, please don't let this happen now. And then we kept thinking that she was going to be better because her mom would come out and say, Carrie's doing fine. You know, Carrie is recuperating, things like that. And then all of a sudden, I get a text from my sister because I was in town at the time. And I get this text. And it tells me that Carrie Fisher has died. And I didn't want to believe it. I thought, we live in an era where fake news is so prevalent on Facebook and things like that, that there's no way it could possibly happen. Well, I was wrong. It happened. And I still can't believe it. And I gotta say, I love the ways that I've seen her memorialized. You know, IGN kept airing video footage of Princess Leia, players from Star Wars The Old Republic were actually traveling to a Princess Leia statue and, you know, kneeling down in front of it in the video game. It's just one of those things, you know, it's going to take a while to fully comprehend that she's gone. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about the future of Star Wars because of it. And the one thing I could say is, please don't act all... I hope people do not act, you know, like they're offended because somebody says, well, what's going to happen to Episode 9? That's just a natural reaction. It's just something that people are going on. Don't be offended because this person died and all you can think of is a movie. It's not like that. You know, it's not like anything. It's just a simple question. Because that is going to be one of the main ones moving forward. How is this going to happen? Especially when you also realize now that unless she appears in Episode 8 with Luke, unless that happens, unless Luke shows up with his sister, then we're not going to see the original trio in a Star Wars film together ever again. That's why I seriously hope there is a sequence in Episode 8, and I believe there is, where she is with Luke, where the two of them share a moment, where the two of them talk, or something to that effect. Because if there's not, knowing that we've lost Carrie Fisher in real life, and, spoiler alert, we lost Han Solo in the film, that's gonna be an incredibly tragic moment. Carrie Fisher, you will definitely be missed. And then to top it off, you know, just about maybe 24 hours later, I want to say, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, Hollywood actress extraordinaire, Singing in the Rain, the Halloween Town films, so much other stuff, passes on. It's just mind-boggling the way that happened. And you gotta feel for her, but you also, you really have to feel for Carrie's sister, her brother, and her daughter, Billie Lord, who's an actress on Scream Queens on Fox. And she was also in the Star Wars movies, the latest ones. I mean, and for all of that to take place in the week between Christmas and New Year's Eve, you're never expecting something like that to happen. Ever. And I can't believe they had to go through something like that. And hopefully they'll be able to come out on the other side and they'll be able to pick themselves back up and continue on. But it's going to take a while for them. And, you know, all of our thoughts and prayers here, not just with the World's Almost Finest, but the FNX Network and everything, are going out to them, to the family, and hopefully things will look better. That's really all that we can touch on. I want to move on right now, and I want to start talking about a film that came out, since we're in the Star Wars, and I was talking about Star Wars, and I know a lot of people have already covered it, but like I said, I want to go ahead and talk about it. Rogue One. Rogue One is really a well-done film. I have to say that. It is very, quite simply, a well-done film. So much about it that I loved. Yeah, there was some iffy moments. There was some, wait, why would this happen moments. Like, there's gonna be that in all the movies. Especially the whole Saul Guerrera with a space octopus type thing that he's using for torture. I don't understand that. But what I do love is the fact that it basically changes the way you look at A New Hope, Episode 4, the very first Star Wars movie. it changes it. And I defy you to tell me any different, because I say, if you go and watch Rogue One, or if you've already watched Rogue One, the first thing you need to do when you get home is immediately pop in A New Hope and try watching it with a new set of eyes. Try watching it with this brand new set of information that you've been given from Rogue One. And tell me it doesn't somewhat change how you look at that film. It doesn't change how you look at Darth Vader. Because we all know how pissed off Darth Vader was in the very first Star Wars film when he storms onto the Tantive IV to get the plans from Princess Leia. But now you understand just why he was so pissed off. That sequence, oh man, that sequence where he walks in and the lightsaber is the only thing that lights him up in the dark hallway and he just goes to town on those rebel soldiers. Oh man, that is the Darth Vader scene I've been waiting for ever since they said that Vader was going to be in this movie. That is the Vader I've been waiting for since Lords of the Sith, where there was a sequence in the book where he's walking onto a battlefield and he's just chopping people down left and right, taking them out one by one. Oh, it was awesome. And I hope maybe in the future we'll be able to see more scenes like that. I love the fact that the castle, which is straight out of a Ralph McQuarrie book, the castle is on Mustafar. I love that. I love the little Red 5 call sign Easter egg that was in there. I love the fact that the ghost was part of the ships that were flying towards Scarif, and they had little brief cameos from the Star Wars Rebels cartoon series characters. Not all of them, but Chopper was there. You saw the ghost, and you could probably see a few more if you really, really look. I guarantee once the DVD for this comes out, people are going to study it. They're going to still frames, push, start, and pause, and play, and pause, and trying to figure out what goes where. That's the beauty of being a cinephile and being a film lover. I love stuff like that. But I truly believe this film told a somewhat decent story. Granted, there are questions, like I said. If Galen Merrick is the reason that the hole was left open on the Death Star, the weakness that they utilized in the first Star Wars movie, why would they immediately rebuild the Death Star with that same weakness for Return of the Jedi? That's all I gotta say. If you had not seen Rogue One, you definitely need to go out and view it for yourself. It's a movie that I really wish I could have seen in 3D. Because I ended up seeing a standardized version, because 3D is just too much money. But I honestly believe I really wish I could have seen this in 3D, because there's that one sequence where the Death Star comes out of hyperspace and it's right there above you. And you're like, oh man, imagine if this was in an IMAX theater that I was watching on 3D. This thing would be huge! So I think at some point I'm actually going to go watch a Star Wars film in an IMAX 3D setting. That's going to be a goal for me. If I can actually do it, that's going to be something that I'm seriously going to attempt. But one of my favorite things to come out of Rogue One, to tell you the truth, has honestly got to be Travis. Because Travis was late to the game in seeing it. Life happens. And Travis calls me, actually it was a couple of nights ago, and he went to a theater with his family to go watch Rogue One. And all of a sudden, as soon as that movie ends, my phone goes off and I answer it and I say, "Hello?" And he's like, "Buddy, I just got out of the theater." I said, "Okay. Have you seen Rogue One yet?" I said, "Yes, I did. I saw it on the second weekend it was out." "Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!" And he just goes crazy, telling me everything he loved about the movie. I wish he could have been here today to talk about it, but he's busy. You know, like I said, life happens. But he goes so crazy over everything he saw, and I told him the same thing I've told you. Go watch A New Hope now, and you'll have a new appreciation and a new understanding. You'll watch it in a completely different way. I don't know if he has yet, but it's stuff like that. It's reactions like that that I love. You know, I'll go through YouTube and I will YouTube different videos of people's reactions to stuff. And I know reaction channels, a lot of people are going crazy on them saying, oh, they're stealing content. I just like watching reactions. And one of my favorite ones I actually watched last night. And it was of a dad who was filming his children as they watched The Empire Strikes Back for the very first time. And it's the sequence at the end where the infamous father revelation comes about. And seeing these kids, their eyes light up and they're like, no, he's lying. Is that real? And stuff like that, because that secret has been out there since 1980, 81, somewhere around there. And I've never really been able to see anybody who didn't know that was the case, unless you watch children. And I love seeing the reactions to things like that, or to all kinds of other twists in movies. It's such a pure thing. It takes you back to when you were sitting down in the theater watching that film for the very first time yourself. That's what kickstarted your love for this particular franchise, or this particular movie, or this particular television show. And we don't experience that anymore. And I love being able to see people who have those genuine reactions. Because nowadays, everything is tweeted out and spoiled before the movie even hits theaters. It's so incredibly hard to keep anything a secret anymore. Pictures from the set, you know, stories from people who say they worked on the set. Everything gets ruined almost. So whenever something can surprise me with a genuine, holy crap, I didn't know they were going to do that, you've won me over right there in that moment, because you were smart enough to keep it a secret. That's why I like watching the reactions of people and seeing and hearing the reactions of people and how they think things are going to go moving forward. It is just so fantastic. So if you've never seen Rogue One, let me know. Let all of us know. We want to know exactly what it is that you loved about Rogue One. Let us know what you didn't like about Rogue One. Let us know what you didn't like about Rogue One. Let us know what you think the future of Star Wars is going to be. We know the next standalone film that isn't part of the episodic chapters is going to be the young Han Solo film. Don't really know how that's going to come about. I remember a rumor where somebody said young Han Solo was going to appear in Rogue One. Didn't happen. So there you go. There is a Han Solo fan film recently. Smuggler's Trade, I believe it's called. That was on YouTube that I thought was really good. And I thought this guy could have been a perfect choice for young Han Solo, but he didn't get cast. They have another actor cast. But however they make that go, I think it's probably going to be fantastic. And Rogue One is killing it at the box office right now. It's setting all kinds of records. And it's a showcase that you don't have to have the main Star Wars cast in there for people to fill the theaters, to pack the theaters, and say, I need my Star Wars fix. I've got to see this right now. The way I like to tell people, even though Rogue One does have its issues, this is the prequel that we always wanted. This one right here is the prequel that we wanted from the start, but we didn't get. Instead, we got those last three. Oh, well. Rogue One is out. It's in a fantastic film if you've yet to see it. What are you doing? Get out there. Go see it. Go see this movie in the setting that it's meant to be seen, in a movie theater. Don't wait for it to hit DVD so you can watch it on the smaller screen at your house. That's not going to take away from your enjoyment, but it's going to amplify the enjoyment if you go to your local movie theater and see it there and experience it. Experience all the hums and drums when the bass hits on the speakers and all the gigantic space battle. That was fantastic. It's been a long time since I've seen a really great space battle in a film. I can't go on enough about Rogue One. I'm so happy. And now everything turns towards Episode 8. And what's going to happen there? When are we going to get a trailer for Episode 8? There's a rumor that says maybe around January. I wouldn't say that. I would say, if anything, if they want to do a trailer around January or February, probably going to drop it at the Super Bowl. I don't know if they'll do that or not. I think they would wait until a different time to do that. Maybe even do what they did with Force Awakens and wait until Star Wars Celebration. They could definitely do that. They could do it like through Monday Night Football. I know they did that one time during a football game. They released the second trailer for Force Awakens. Who knows? We don't even know a title for Episode 8 yet. And I can't wait to hear about it. Well, guys, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here because this is going to be a slightly shorter episode. As I said, it was just me. We're talking about a little bit about the things that happened about 2016. I'm happy it's over because towards the end there, 2016, you were starting to get bogged down with a little too much stuff. But now we're in a brand new year. We have a new outlook. Hopefully things are going to look up from here. Not on the political side. Political side is still really, really scary. But I'm not going to concentrate on that. Don't forget to check us out online, facebook.com/worldsalmostfinest, at WAlmostFinest on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram, worlds.almost.finest, and you can find me at JacobTheRed, at Big Stupid Elbow for Travis Weir. And remember, guys, here in the next several weeks, we are going to relaunch the World's Almost Finest podcast officially on iTunes, and we're going to pick it up from there, and we're going to shoot for the stars. That's exactly what we need to do. Until then, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the World's Almost Finest podcast.